Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, TSA says if you show up without a real ID, you can fly, but it's going to cost you. And Uber extends its women preference safety feature. Those stories and a bunch more next in the travel news.
Our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22 has tips for getting through the airport security during the holidays. Should you wrap those presents before you fly? What about holiday foods and snow globes? We have the answers.
Credit cards and the money made by airlines and the credit card companies have become a major part of airlines' business model. We all revel in the points and miles we collect and what we can buy with them, but a recent court decision may change all that. An expert joins us at 11:35 to tell you how this may impact travelers.
The U.S. Department of Transportation said this week we need to dress with respect when we fly. The initiative is being called the Golden Age of Travel Starts With You. And at 11:50, we'll talk about what all this means to us.
At 11 o'clock on a Saturday, the regular crowd is rushing in. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guide.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Aruba, Jamaica,
solo Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hope your week has been a good one. Thanks for coming along. We got an hour's worth of fun and information to hopefully make you a smarter traveler and entertain you along the way. Mark, how was your week? I understand that you got out for lunch one day this week, which sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I took the entire Sports Leisure staff, tour directors, office staff, everyone. We had a mystery tour a day. We do these at Sports Leisure Vacations pretty frequently. Long mystery tours to various parts of the country, and indeed we've even gone internationally a couple times. People pay a whole lot of money to go someplace where they don't know where they're going, only have some basic clues and some instructions about what to wear, you know, what the weather might be and stuff like that, and off we go. So I decided to take the staff on a mystery tour this week, and they work pretty hard, and I have a really great team. And we hadn't done anything fun like that for a while. So we all got on a Southwest airplane early in the morning, about 8 o'clock, flew to San Diego, went to the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego, and had lunch actually across the street from the Hotel Del. There's an old place, old historic restaurant there called the Boathouse, which actually was built by the designer of the Hotel Del Coronado to give people an idea in miniature of what he was going to create with the hotel. So it sort of looks like the miniature, a miniature model of the main part of the Hotel Del Coronado. And it's still there along with the hotel all these years later. So we had lunch there, wandered around the Del, walked on the beach a little bit, had ice cream. And then it was time to head back to the airport and come back home. But we had a really fun day in San Diego. And I think everybody had a good time. So if you own a small business, make sure that once in a while, you stop and do something really out of the ordinary and take care of your people, because they will really, really, really like you for it. And it will be you will think, wow, that's a lot of money to pay people for a day and go something and close the office down and stuff like that. Do it anyway. Just my little piece of small business person wisdom.
That's great. And you say this place is called the Boathouse.
It's called the Boathouse. It's right across from the Hotel Del Coronado. By the way, if you go for ice cream at the Hotel Del, the ice cream store's pricing is right there with the ambiance of the hotel. A small ice cream, which actually, to be honest, is two scoops, two small scoops. But it's as much ice cream as most people would need. $17.
Wow.
17. And there's a tip jar on the counter too. So, hey, I wanted to mention something. We talked about our being at the National Tour Association convention in Ottawa week before last. And I wanted to mention that one of our own here at Sports Leisure Vacations, Clayton Whitehead, got a very distinguished award at the convention. He received the Lifetime Achievement Award, which is really, really, really cool. And Clayton has never been the volunteer leader, the chairman, president, whatever the title was, And it's very rare for somebody who doesn't hold that leadership position to get this award. It means that you must have worked as a volunteer behind the scenes for a lot of years and won a lot of people over. And so congratulations to Clayton for getting a really, really cool acknowledgement of, you know, when you, we've, he and he's been my business partner for 30 plus years, and we've both spent our entire careers in the tourism industry. So it's always nice when the people that you're working with acknowledge the fact that you've done something special for a long time. So congratulations to Clayton.
Well, we got a great show ahead of us. Thanks for dialing in. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and at the top of every one of our programs, we do our best to bring you up to date on the travel news. And backed by Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah.
Mark here with today's update. Mark?
Yeah, maybe some of the younger people listening to the program might not recognize that song. But indeed, we play it because it's Huey Lewis and the news.
There you go.
And it's the news segment. Yeah. Canadian trips to the U.S. have fallen for the 10th consecutive months. Let's see. How long has the new president been in office? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 10 months. Yeah, exactly. What a coincidence. Canadian travel to the U.S. continues its sharp decline. Statistics Canada reports a 30.5% year-over-year drop in automobile crossings and a 24% decrease in air crossings. They count people returning to Canada from the U.S., so that's how much the number is down. It's the 10th consecutive months. About 70% of Canadians say they feel uncomfortable about traveling to the U.S., many citing concerns over invasive border requirements such as fingerprinting and registration for long-term visitors, plus the general feeling by Canadians that people from that leadership in the U.S. does not like them. And that's the way Canadians would say that. Other people would say it probably differently, but they would say they don't like us. This is kind of cool. Uber, I heard about this previously, but this is now, they've extended this to 30 cities. Unfortunately, Sacramento is not one of them yet, but I'm sure it will be. They started with five cities, now they're to 30. Uber has expanded its women preference safety feature. This feature, which is highlighted on Uber's women's safety page. So if you're wondering about this, go to the Uber app and or Uber online and look for the women's safety page. Allows women riders to select women drivers for both on-demand and scheduled trips for a safer and more comfortable experience. So if you're a lady and you're using Uber and you would prefer to have you're more comfortable with a female driver, increasingly in other cities around the country, that is possible. We will keep an eye on this, and when it comes to Sacramento, you will hear it here first. Hilton Honors Program for Hilton Hotels is in the news this week for a couple of reasons. One is they have redone the program with great hoopla and added a new tier at the top.
Why not?
And what it means is that everybody on all the tiers below the new tier lost some value in their benefits. Because after all, now you can be a Diamond Reserve at Hilton.
Oh, yeah.
No more of this just being a Diamond or a Lifetime Diamond or whatever. Now you can be Diamond Reserve. This is really going to be special. And this will allow you to maintain basically all the benefits that you had when you were a top tier person before. You just have to earn one more tier up now. So this is really exciting, because if you're a Hilton person, you know how valuable those Hilton Honors points are. In fact, a lot of people in the industry refer to them as Hilton Pesos, because they have such little value compared to other hotel bonus programs. And then here comes the other Hilton story. If you thought being a Hilton Diamond member was something really special, I have some bad news for you.
Oh, no.
This comes from Ben Schlopik at One Mile at a Time. He estimates that Hilton Honors has between 1.2 and 1.4 million Diamond members. That helps explain why they've created a new tier at the top, and also explains why when you go into a Hilton, then you have you're strutting and you say, hey, you know, I'm a Diamond member. I'm way up high in the Hilton world. Yeah, well,
front of the line.
The guy, yeah, except the guy in front of you in line and the guy in front of him and the lady in front of him, they're all Diamond members too. So that's part of what we talk about here, is that some of these programs are, you know, they're basically Hilton prints the money, and Hilton decides what the products cost. So Hilton can print a lot more money, or they can raise the price of the products. I just stayed in a Hilton Garden Inn in Hollywood, California last night, and it cost me, go down to see a friend down there, it was 60,000 points for a Hilton Garden Inn. Now, I can tell you that probably 2-3 years ago, that property probably would have been 30, 35,000 points. So that's how much, that's how Hilton is recovering. They've given out all these points, so they devalue them by having the awards cost you more points. So your awards just, it's just like in currency inflation, your award just doesn't go further. So Hilton is jazzing up, has a brand new tier. And if you
Diamond
you were,
Reserve.
Yeah, if you thought you were special being on the other tier, well, you weren't. That's all I can tell you. Speaking of hotels that are sticking it to their guests, we told you last week about Marriott Hotels had a deal with a company called Sonder, which had a small chain of hotels. They had hotels in 37 cities. Some of them were apartment hotels, so people were staying long term. And overnight, this company decided that they were going to declare bankruptcy, Chapter 7 liquidation. They gave the guests 24 hours to get out. Well, what if you were on a monthly rental and you were someplace other than in the city? And so some people didn't get their stuff out in time. And last week we told people that Marriott was being real good. The early reports were that Marriott was helping people who were displaced get new rooms. Once the emails started piling up, we saw that that really wasn't the story, that Marriott was, that there were a lot of people that Marriott wasn't helping who were thrown out. So I don't know what the point of all this is. This is a hotel management company that had some apartment hotels in addition to regular hotels. They decided to go out of business. They had Marriott's name on their shingle. But when they went out of business, Marriott had nothing to do with it and indeed kind of washed their hands of it. So boo for Marriott, I guess, would be the bottom line there. San Jose Airport is
Marriott, by the way, Mark.
Marriott. Marriott. I'm
well, we should explain to people why we keep doing this.
Yeah,
is we sometime not too many weeks ago, we found out that the pronunciation of the name Marriott, which everybody says Marriott Hotels, is actually pronounced Marriott. So I keep bugging Mark about it because, in fact, you know, that's the last time I'm going to do that. From now on, it's whatever comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, or you could just go. it's probably going to continue that way. San Jose Airport is a second airport in the United States with Waymo driverless taxis. We told you last week that Waymo was expanding to some other cities outside of San Francisco and Phoenix. Phoenix was the first airport to allow Waymo to pick up arriving passengers. You can now get a driverless taxi in San Jose. One of us have got to go to San Francisco or wherever and get in one of these things and drive around a little bit. So I'm going to try to maybe take a sports leisure vacations Giants trip or something early in the season, because we get down there way before the game starts, and I could do that. I could kill two birds with one stone and have a crab sandwich at the ballpark. That would be pretty much
there you go.
A perfect day.
Do you think you have any idea whether the Waymos get to their own pickup zone, or are they going to just kind of mingle right in with the everyday taxis with drivers?
I have no idea. It would seem logical that they would go, they would be programmed to go to the rideshare pickup point. I'm sure around the ballpark there's a
rideshare pickup, not the taxi pickup, huh?
Well, I mean,
because oftentimes those are different locations.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I cut in a taxi this morning. And yes, you're right. It was a different location than.
And taxis still get priority over pickup locations as a rule.
They tend to. And also the other thing is, from my experience last night and this morning, a taxi during rush hour last night from Burbank Airport to Hollywood was cheaper than a 5 a.m. ride this morning on Uber back to the airport by a significant amount, probably 20%. And the taxi was clean and the driver was nice, and I walked right out and I didn't have to wait for it or look for the car with the right license plate or anything like that. I just got in the taxi and off we went. And 18 minutes later, we were in Burbank. So there are still taxis on the planet. Speaking of airports, the second of new restaurants out at Sacramento International, Southwest Sourdough, has opened in Terminal A, where Southwest and Alaska live. This happened last Wednesday. If I was just out at the airport, and there are all kinds of new restaurants going in. In fact, I would tell you right now that there are kind of limited food facilities at the airport because some of the old places have closed and the places that are replacing them haven't opened yet. So if you're planning on eating at the airport, make sure you do your homework because there's and you get there early enough because the lines at the places that are open are a little bit longer because there are fewer choices. That makes sense? All right, let's see here.
Did you see the sign for Centro?
For Centro?
Centro.
No.
They're opening there, too. Centro is the Mexican restaurant owned by the Perigueri chain. It's one of Randy's places. And Kurt Spataro, friend of mine, who's the executive chef for everything, Perigueri.
I saw the sign for that. It's in Terminal A. It's just
there you go.
After you come through security, if you were flying Alaska and you turned right, that's where the restaurant is going in. So
there you go.
We'll have to do a review when it opens. We'll have to do a review.
You'll love it.
We'll have to go out and do a review one day of all the new airport restaurants. That would be a good project for us, I think.
I'll have to go to Terminal A and like have lunch with you at Centro, uh-huh. and then go back to B because I never fly out of A.
Uh-huh.
You do a lot. You do a lot of United and stuff. But
I do.
Us sad folks that fly nothing but Southwest are stuck with only the choices that are in
yeah,
B, which aren't
sad,
too bad.
You poor sad folks. You also don't have to deal with layovers because Southwest flies directly to more places. And it was fun yesterday and this morning. In Burbank, Southwest still does the old school thing. They because it's a tarmac loading, you do a gate, you know, it's an outdoor gate, and you can get on and off the back of the plane, which Southwest has done in Burbank for years. So if you're flying Southwest to Burbank and the weather is good, remember, you got a B boarding pass or something like that, go get on the back of the plane because the open seats will be there. We got to hurry here. I got some more stuff and we're running out of time. No real ID or passport. TSA is going to charge you an $18 verification fee. So you can still fly. I think it's going to happen over the holidays. We're going to have some folks who are not going to have real IDs, and they may or may not realize it. And when they get to the airport, your ID process is a little bit more exaggerated. TSA has decided that it's going to cost you $18 if you don't. Previously, it didn't cost you anything. My suggestion might be that this is because people who are showing up at the airport, it's too easy for them to get through without a real ID. They want everybody to have one. So by adding a little charge to it, maybe that'll people give some incentive.
Sure, there's some incentive.
There you go. And finally, Amtrak is setting ridership records in 2025, even though they have some capacity constraints on many of their lines. So the trains are fuller. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys. Okay, here it is, your early Christmas gift from the travel guys and our friends at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. Simply go by Rudy's, tell them that you want the travel guys deal of the day. And that is your opportunity to buy a gift card for $100 and get a $20 gift card free. So you buy a Christmas gift for a family member or friend for $100 and you get $20 to use yourself on a Rudy's meal anytime you want.
Which would buy you probably three bowls of clam chowder. I'm just saying $20 about, you know. And
well,
the clam chowder, I've mentioned before on this show, the clam chowder is really good. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to get that in there because some folks might have been confused about how to use. That's a really good deal. You buy a $100 gift card to give somebody, and you get a $20 gift card for yourself, literally for nothing.
Here's the deal, though.
Yeah.
Right now, anyway, through the rest of November, you have to tell them that you want the travel guy's deal.
Okay?
You just walk in and says, I want to buy a gift card. If you don't say, I want the travel guy's deal, you're not going to get that extra $20. So the travel guy's deal. At Rudy's Hideaway. And don't forget now, the holidays are here. Whether you're having a bunch of family over and you're looking for somebody to cater, or you've got a business and you want a place to have a Christmas party, Rudy's Hideaway is the place. 916-351-0606. We don't usually do phone numbers, but I'll give this one. 916-351-0606. Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, just off of Highway 50 at Hazel. Live and in living radio, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here on Sactown Sports 1140, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, Anthony Lucas at the controls. We are fortunate to have, probably the best of the best of the best over at Sactown Sports running the board. You know, Anthony does, to my his dismay, I'm sure, from time to time, he board ops and runs and produces a lot of the Sacramento Kings games, which recently has been it's been kind of tough.
Well, we are appreciative. Our last days at another place were, kind of icky sometimes. So Anthony is very much appreciated as an addition to our team here. Hey, listen, we're going to talk a little bit for a few minutes about, we have a lot of people who travel during the holidays who don't travel a lot during the year. You know, you get somebody who's, they're going to see grandma and they've got the whole family and the kids and the stroller and the baby seat and all this kind of jazz. And so, you know, trying to get through security. And sometimes they're carrying presents and stuff like that. There are some things at this time of the year that are a little different getting through TSA. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about those. The most important tip that I can give you to start with is, comes to wrapping gifts. Wrap the gifts when you get there. Don't wrap the gifts before you leave. Christmas gifts, the things that people buy for Christmas gifts, tend to have a lot of different moving parts in them than TSA people are used to seeing sometimes. So sometimes it's like, well, I need to take a little closer look at that. If it's wrapped, then guess what has to happen? The wrapping paper has to come, has to be broken in some way, shape, or form so they can determine what's in the package. So really and truly, wrap your gifts on the other end would be much better. And also, here's a really big suggestion. Now that every airline is charging $35-$40 for a bag, you got to put those gifts in a bag. Why not send them, why not ship them by FedEx Ground or something like that ahead? And then you don't have to schlep them through the airport and you don't have all that problem. And I saw that tip online and I thought, wow, that is really, really a good idea. So if you're going somewhere and you have a lot of gifts, consider taking them to FedEx or UPS and letting them get them across the country. I'm guessing that won't be any more expensive than checking them.
And, you know, one of the things, too, is the kind of things that you might bring as gifts could vary a lot. If you bring bringing in a fruitcake or whatever, it may ring a bell. Somebody might think it's a plastic explosive. Mark, what about, what if you brought you wanted to gift a snow globe?
Oh, wow. Specifically, one of the articles I read talked about snow globes, because what's inside a snow globe? Liquid, not water, but, you know, and not explosives, hypothetically, but something unknown. So if you put that in your carry-on bag and it's more, there's more than 3 ounces of liquid in there, guess what? It can't go.
Yeah.
It has liquid. People, snow globes, who would think about that? Here's the other problem with a snow globe. If you put it in your checked bag, then you've got this thing in there that's, who knows how secure it is, and it's got liquid in it, and who knows what liquid it is and what it would do to your clothing if it broke open. So, but snow globes need to go in a checked bag. Here's another item. Hairstyling tools. They should be in your carry-on bag. Many hairstyling tools use lithium batteries these days. Anything with a lithium battery has to be in a carry-on. So again, if you bought somebody a gift, a technology gift or something like that, it's got a lithium battery in it, it has to go in your carry-on, because there, as we've talked about, there have been issues with those batteries and they don't want them in the cargo hold. They want them up above with the people so that if something happens, they can take care of it.
Just like with your cell phone with lithium batteries and chargers, does it need to be exposed so that you can see it and the flight attendant can see it?
Southwest wants you to have it. If you've got it plugged in or you've got it on your person, they want you to be able to see it. so that if it starts to heat up or something like that, that you can, the other airlines haven't been quite as strict yet, but there have been half a dozen instances where these batteries have started smoking or caught on fire or things like that, so they are an issue. Okay, quickly here, a couple of other tips. Homemade pies and cakes are generally fine at security. You mentioned
fruitcakes.
In the olden days, 15 years ago in security, they were so dense that almost always they had to take a closer look at them. Now I'm told that that isn't as big of an issue as it used to be. Homemade pies are generally okay because they're not considered to be liquid.
Right.
Okay.
How about fudge?
Fudge is okay, but it's a really dense item, so it's a possibility that that's going to get a closer look. Things that are not okay, cranberry sauce, not okay. So if you made homemade cranberry sauce and you're taking it to grandma's house for Thanksgiving, has to go in the checked bag. Spreadable things are considered liquids. So if you've got something that, you know, you would take a knife to and spread like a jelly or a jam or something like that, an apple butter or whatever, then those are considered liquids. And if they're over 3 ounces, they have to go in your checked bag. I know this is a lot of stuff and it's a lot of information and it may be confusing. TSA.org. We'll give you all kinds of instructions about what to do. And finally, keep your shoes on. Take your belt off. Best tip, if you are carrying bags with gifts in them and you have a time frame, an Apple AirTag in that suitcase, if the bag got lost, might help it get found quicker. So just a little tip on the side.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Hey, if you'd like to travel and you're over 60 and you're tired of doing all the planning yourself, I have an idea for you. You could travel with nice people, stay in great hotels, enjoy terrific itineraries, and you could be picked up at your home and taken to the airport to start each one of your adventures, taken back home when you get back to Sacramento. What company would that be to travel with? That would be Sports Leisure Vacations. We've been in business in Sacramento for 46 years, and we would love to have you come along. You can get a catalog for free and a year's free membership in the Sports Leisure Travel Club by going to sportsleisure.com or giving us a call at 916-361-2051. Sports Leisure Vacations, the home for mature travelers in the greater Sacramento area.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Links to our special guests can always be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. My special guest today, David Danto. David, tell folks what it is that you do.
Oh my God, I'm in the fourth decade of trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. I'm generally a technology analyst. Doing things in enterprise collaboration and with consumer electronics. But I also happen to be a frequent traveler and do a lot of writing and reporting on frequent traveling and have for many years.
David, last week you penned a column, When Pretend Loyalty Stops Paying. I found this particularly interesting. We've kind of introduced our listeners here to the concept that credit cards and their usage are a big part of airlines' business model these days, but a recent proposed settlement with Visa and MasterCard, it is, people might look at this and say, well, what does it have to do with me as a traveler? And the answer is it might have a lot to do with you as a traveler. Can you help explain a complicated situation so our listeners will get a takeaway from it?
Sure. Well, let's start with the credit card piece and then we'll back into what's going on with the airlines. The settlement that's been proposed is between a number of the merchant networks and the credit card companies that would essentially, without getting into all the legalese and details of it, that would essentially let merchants accept or reject credit cards however they feel like it. What has been happening that we're all aware of is that the merchant fees for credit cards have been escalating 3%, 4%, you know, depending upon which card it is. And the credit card companies have been building all of these perks into these now. Oh, you have our regular card? Well, that doesn't count. Now you need our super card. And if you don't have our super card, that doesn't count. Now you need our super elite card. And they're adding more benefits and charging the merchants for the benefits. And the merchants, if the settlement is approved by the court, will be able to say, you know what, I'll take your regular card, but I'm not paying those fees on that Super Elite card. We're not even going to accept it. that is a domino that could fall and knock down a lot of dominoes when we go back to the airline industry. It's got a lot to do with credit cards as well. But the airlines don't really make money from flying you places anymore. For the most part, most of their profit comes from minting this fake money, frequent flyer miles that have nothing to do with frequent flying anymore. They're now frequent spending miles, and selling them to the banks, and the banks bundle them into the credit cards, and we get those miles. And it is like monopoly money or fake money, because the airline can sell the bank 100 miles, which is worth X, and then as soon as they've sold them, say, oh, you know what, they're not worth half that much. You know what, your trip to Cleveland next week, that one's going to cost three times as much as it did yesterday, just because I don't like you. So it's this funny money scheme that affects most of the profit that airlines make. To quote something that Joe Brancatelli sent over to me, in 2023, American Express paid Delta about $6.8 billion for their co-branded card, and Delta's net earnings for the year of 2023 was $4.6 billion. So they're not even making money from flying the planes anymore. They're making money from all of these sides and add-ons and, you know, the whatever they're charging you now to check a bag and, you know, picking a window seat that doesn't have a window, which is another court case going on. So all of these dominoes might fall. If the merchants won't take these expensive credit cards, the banks are not going to be able to sell them. The airlines are going to have to look for another source of revenue. And guess who's going to be paying that?
So, David, if this house of cards collapses, it's going to collapse on the heads of the consumers who thought that, wow, I signed up for this credit card. They gave me 100,000 miles and they told me that it would buy me a round trip to Hawaii. And but it doesn't buy a round trip to Hawaii anymore. Or I've saved up for this trip to Europe and now I've got my 375,000 miles and I can buy two first class tickets, except now those tickets cost a lot more fake money than they used to. Where do we go from here?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you raise a point there that I mentioned that we have to really understand is being squeezed from both ends. The airlines can simply say, oh, you know what? What used to cost 50 now costs 100, which is devaluing the value of the miles. But they can also say, right, oh, you know what? You want to go to Hawaii? Sure. That's 100,000 miles, but only on one Tuesday in March. All the other times we're going to say it's now 500,000. Or you know what? The plane's half full. Now it's, you know, a million. They can devalue the worth of the currency, the miles, and they can also increase the price of using them. So they're squeezing it on both ends and playing. It's a shell game.
And just so that people who are listeners understand this, not only are you getting squeezed, but I'm a tour operator and I'm getting squeezed because I have to pay fees to the credit card company for the privilege of you using that card here. So there are no winners here. Tom, you had a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, David, is there any protection? Is there anybody looking out for us? Are there any government entities that are looking at this and saying, wait a minute, let's back up a second. Some of this stuff is just not legal.
The reality is right now, regulations that had put in place to protect the passenger and the consumer are being rolled back. Without getting into politics, because Lord knows we don't want to go down that rabbit hole, the governing bodies right now are pulling back. Just the other day, one of the orders that required airlines to refund passengers because of delays was rescinded. So we're going in the other direction right now. The only advice that I can give for travelers, you know, to try and, you know, a little bit of protection and understand is advice that I've been giving for the last few years, that Joe Brancatelli's been giving. If you read his JoeSentMe.com site that I'm pleased to write for, and most of the other experts in the space, stop thinking about frequent flyer miles. It's a shell game, and the only winning move is not to play, to quote the movie line from War Games, I think. The key is, if you have to fly somewhere, buy the ticket you want to buy. Forget your loyalty, because they're not offering any loyalty back to you. Forget your miles. And if you happen to be using a credit card or some other, flying with the airline or whatever, and you're building frequent flyer miles, don't do what we used to do, which is build up that big bank for two first-class tickets to somewhere special. When you have miles, spend them. keep your bank account at zero, because while you're holding it in your bank, the airline is actively devaluing on both sides. So that's the only real advice that you can give. Buy your airline tickets based on schedule and convenience, and stop playing the frequent flyer game, because it's not for you anymore. It's for the banks and the airlines.
And when you go into the restaurant and the restaurant adds 3% to your bill because you're paying by credit card, you have to ask yourself, the more times that you're doing that, and it's happening all over now, the more times that you're paying an additional percentage for the privilege of using the credit card, ask yourself, are the benefits I'm getting from using that card worth that extra money? Because your $50 restaurant bill has now turned into $51.50.
Absolutely. You know, the one piece we didn't talk about, and it opens up a can of worms I'm sure we don't want to get into today, is what credit card should we be using? I don't recommend the idea of traveling completely with cash, because it's a little bit dangerous, and there are some properties that are now cashless. So you need to have a credit card. But what credit card should you have? And I don't think it's a straightforward decision as it used to be. Most of the best choices are cashback cards, where the money goes back to you. And whatever the percentage is, some do better than others, and I wouldn't recommend any particular card. But I also find that changing the cards that you use during the course of a year makes sense. An example is that I go to a lot of business conferences, and a lot of business conferences take place in Las Vegas. So it makes sense to me to have an affinity card, a casino card with some of the properties there, because I can get certain benefits. I can get free breakfast in some cases. I can get a resort fee waived, things like that. So around September, October, November, I start using the casino's affinity card on a regular basis, because using that card will let me requalify for the next year on that benefit.
All of us, excuse me for interrupting you, David, all of us who are playing that game are going to find that game a little bit more difficult to play. And you may be faced with a situation where the $600 credit card a year gets you X benefits, but the card doesn't cost you anything or costs you $99 a year. Is it really worth it? I mean, and I think the credit card companies, the airlines, the hotels, everybody is counting on the fact that consumers are too stupid to run those numbers. And they will pay a percentage at the merchant, and then they will get skewered by the people who gave them the points in the first place through devaluation.
I don't think anybody ever lost money underestimating the stupidity of the buying public. But I honestly don't. As much as I'm happy to be cynical about that, I don't think it's stupidity. I think it's inertia. Not everybody wants to be looking at what's the best credit card to use this week, this month, what's changed. People are creatures of habit, and they know that when they use this particular credit card, it might cover their rental car insurance, and that's good enough for them. So most people kind of stick with whatever they have. The real advice is you got to stop doing that. You have to have a wallet full of, four, five, six good choices that you've intelligently made, and you track it during the course of the year to figure out what gets you the best benefit. It's not easy, and that's what the airlines and credit cards are counting on, is that it's going to be too difficult for you to bother doing the smart thing.
Wow.
David Danto. David is a writer for Joe Sent Me. Joe Brancatelli has been a guest on this program from time to time over the years. Lots of great stuff at that website, joesentme.com. And you will find part of this. Some of the site is pay and some of it is free. I recommend, if you are a frequent traveler, that you check it out. David, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
Boy, I think we might have found ourselves another top quality guest. That man really knows a lot of what he speaks of, and I know that may be complicated and over a lot of people's heads, but there are a lot of people who play the frequent flyer points/miles game, and the important takeaway is that this court decision may change the way that airlines and credit card companies interact, which is going to impact the consumer. It's going to either devalue those miles and points more, or it's going to make them harder to come by, but something will have to give, because somehow that money will have to come from somewhere. Anyway, thank you to David for a great, great interview, and telling us, bringing us up to speed on all of that.
And if you if it went by too fast and you'd like to hear it again, don't forget you can go to travelguysradio.com where you can find the podcast and listen to it as many times as you like. You can also find the Travel Guys podcasts on a weekly basis at Sactown Sports 1140. By the way, Mark, I was told, because I was busy at the time, that our friends with the card show that comes on right before us every week, have been here for quite some time, have mentioned that they gave us a plug. They says the Travel Guys show is worth listening to, and we thank them very much for that.
I was listening, Tom. I was listening to one as they were getting towards the end of the program there. I just caught a snippet of it, but it had something to do with Willie McCovey. So now I'm going to have to go back and to Sactown Sports and get the show, because Willie McCovey was like my all-time favorite baseball player, maybe Stan Musial. But anyway, okay, I'm sorry. I got off track.
That's okay. Well, you know, some years ago, traveling was quite a luxury. When it was new, even for many years after, people used to dress up to get on a plane. I mean, it was a very cool thing. And now we push and shove and wear what we want and take our shoes off. We're going to address some of that and a little bit of what the U.S. Department of Transportation is pushing out that has to do with respect when you fly. Hey there, if you're tuning in for the first time, this is Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark, we got one last segment. Let's get to it.
We do. Before we get to our featured item here with the Transportation Secretary about respect for travel, I want to talk just for a minute about best times to drive for Thanksgiving. 82 million people are going to travel at least 50 miles from home this Thanksgiving, which is a record. 82 million. Fortunately, they all won't all be passing through Sacramento. 73 million traveling by car. So that's a lot of people. You know, the good news is that the government has opened back up. And so hypothetically, except for weather and the fact that the planes will be extremely full, travel by air should not be further encumbered. But there's going to be a lot of congestion, traffic congestion. AAA has come out with some analysis here about when to drive and when to not drive. They say the roads will be the most congested between 1 and 3 p.m. the day before the holiday. So that means Wednesday afternoon, early afternoon, before it gets dark, will be the busiest time on the road. I'm guessing that would be for Christmas Eve, too, perhaps. Yeah. But for Thanksgiving Eve. So you want to avoid traveling on Wednesday afternoon, if you possibly can. Travel Wednesday morning, maybe later on Wednesday. But that's their time that they say is the worst possible time. Of course, the holiday itself is a good time to travel. And increasingly, a number of people, when I go back to see my family in the middle of the country at Christmas, I often fly on Christmas morning. The airports are just quieter. The streets are quieter. It's easier to get in and out of places. Google data shows travelers can expect traffic to be worse on Saturday and Sunday after Thanksgiving, between 12 and 3. So middle of the day, it sounds like to me, is the time that you probably want to avoid. It sounds like if you're doing holiday travel on the road, getting up a little bit early and getting a head start while the rest of the world is still sleeping, and now you're 2 hours down the road before they've even started, will make up for a lot of that time. Plus, you can plan your lunch stop for that early afternoon time when maybe the roads are going to be a little busier. I don't know how much that will help, but that's a little bit. Let's see. Gas prices about the same this year as last. National average of 306 compared to 307 in 2024 and 326 the year before that. Of course, California gas prices are a little bit higher because we have things in our gasoline that so we do not have to breathe crappy air.
So they say.
Yeah. Yeah, so they say. All right. Dressing with respect. The transportation secretary. Let's start out with what he said. Here's what Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said in the public service announcement.
Things aren't what they used to be. Some would call it the golden age of travel. Let's bring civility and manners back. Ask yourself, are you helping a pregnant woman put her bag in the overhead bin? Are you dressing with respect? Are you keeping control of your children? Are you saying thank you to your flight attendants and your pilots? Are you saying please and thank you in general? The golden age of travel begins with you.
Wow. I'm listening to what he's saying there, and I'm saying to myself, no, they don't do that. No, they don't do that. No, they're not doing that. And, you know, I mean.
My thought is that Mr. Duffy, with all due respect, is wishing for days that are not here anymore. For
Tell
days
me
gone
about
by.
It.
I mean, you stated in the introduction, you know, people wore coats and ties and nice dresses and high heels. And when you flew on planes, and the kids wore whatever their best outfit was. And that's not the case anymore. And you know what? That was a bunch of hooey anyway, because you're flying on an airplane. So, you know, be comfortable. I made a short list here. If you're flying on the plane with me, here's what I would like you to do. Take a bath and brush your teeth. You might be sitting next to me, so brush your teeth, take a bath, use deodorant. Keep your bare feet on the floor. That's pretty much it. I don't care what you wear. I don't care how much stuff the airline lets you sleep on board. As long as you don't slop over into my very limited space and you don't smell bad, then we'll be fine for an hour or two or six or 12 or whatever it is that we have to spend together before we go on about our life. I think they're barking up two different trees here. And if I were them, I would have separated these two forests. telling people that how to dress on an airplane, that's not going to happen. I just went to a convention, a travel convention last week, where a dozen years ago, every man wore a coat and tie every day. If you came onto the convention floor with only a sport coat and not a tie, you were very underdressed, and somebody might say something to you about it. That was a dozen years ago, I would say. I just came back from that convention. I didn't see a single tie among a single delegate. I didn't see a single pair of high-heeled shoes that a lady or anybody else were wearing. So things have changed. So I might tell the transportation secretary that, dude, what people wear on the plane is not as important as how they act on the plane. That's the part they got right. You know, keep an eye on your children. You know, don't let them run around the airport. Please and thank you. You know what? I did something this morning. I had a TSA guy. We were kind of kidding around and stuff like that. I zinged, and I had to have a special pat-down search with the back of his hand and in delicate parts and all this kind of stuff. And we were just kind of talking for 15 seconds, and I just said, you know, I just want to say something. Thank you to everybody, for all you guys for working. Because, you know, if you'd have decided not to work sometime in that 40-day shutdown, this would have all fallen apart in about 20 minutes. And he kind of laughed and said, yeah, we knew that. He said, we knew that. And what that told me was that there was probably a point in time at which they would have said, all right, enough is enough. We're not coming to work tomorrow. And you guys, good luck to you. So anyways, I do think that we could step up being civilized to each other on planes. I thought that was kind of funny about helping a pregnant lady with her suitcase. I'm going to suggest that most pregnant women would be smart enough not to bring a suitcase on the plane that they couldn't put up above, because they're that smart. I mean, they're pregnant. But people do bring things on planes that they have trouble with. And despite the fact that flight attendants don't really like you to help other people because it encourages them to bring things that are too heavy on the plane, that's a very civilized thing to do. And just being courteous to each other and saying thank you and please to the staff that you're interacting with is not, I don't think, too much to ask. So from that standpoint, I think they had that part right. But telling people that, you know, put on a coat and tie to get on the airplane, that just makes them look out of touch with the rest of the planet. So sorry, Sean. Sorry, Mr. Duffy, but I'm only half on board with you.
The golden age of travel starts with you.
Yeah. It sounds like the slogan sounds like it's 50 years old.
It really does. Yeah, well, you know, I learned a long time ago, don't try to bring my snow skis as a carry-on. You just can't get them in the overhead.
Not even
Well, that
one.
Wraps it. That wraps it for another week. We'll be back next week at 11 o'clock for another edition of the Travel Guys. In the meantime, check us out at travelguysradio.com.
Thank you for joining us here today on Sactown Sports. Thanks for your time. We will see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock in Me Time. Dance like nobody's watching.
never